Ready to lose 40 plus pounds without giving up happy hours, weekend brunches, or date nights? Then it's time to uncover the hidden link between binge eating and toxic relationships and finally break free from both. Welcome to the Hungry for Love podcast with Jillian Scott. Y'all ready? Let's go. Hello and welcome to an all new Hungry for Love podcast. I am so excited and so pumped to have made this transition because this has been on my mind probably about a year now. As I was thinking about getting back and relaunching the show after taking some time off for the divorce and just getting into life as a single mom and a business owner and figuring things out. And so it was on my mind to bring it back. So when I was relaunching in June of 2024, I really wanted to have done a whole branding refresh at that point, and I just didn't have the time, energy, logistics, and I thought, you know what, I actually just need to get back into the habit of podcasting, just get started, work with what I've got right now, and I'll work on the rebrand later. And it's really been on my mind and on my heart over the last month or two to really bring these two topics together, which is what we're going to talk about specifically today, which is this new perspective on toxic relationships with people and our toxic relationship with food, because we have a relationship with food. This is something that I've been saying this whole time, is we need to change our relationship with food, our thoughts about food, how we interact with it, how we think about it, its role in our lives. And so often we learn and we pick up these toxic traits growing up in different relationships from different people. And we take that, and not only is there an external relationship with others that can be really unhealthy, really dysfunctional, but then we create a really dysfunctional, really toxic relationship within ourselves. And it can be with food, with body image, with the scale, with the mirror. And a lot of times it's our negative self-talk about these things. One of the things that I realized, the fall of 2023, I started putting the pieces of this together. I started noticing patterns in my own life, in my own childhood, in my own marriage. And I was recognizing that while I did not get married with the intention of getting divorced, I also had to recognize that we kept wanting each other to be somebody that we weren't. We kept trying to make these two puzzle pieces fit that weren't going to fit together. And the best thing for us to do was actually to split. And in my mind, that was breaking cycles of people-pleasing, of trying to change, trying to control, because my ex was trying to control me just as much as I was trying to control him and get him to do certain things or not do certain things, to say this and not that, to do this and not that. And so I kept trying to control him and he kept trying to control me, neither one of us wanting to be controlled. And I had to really take that step back and see, okay, neither one of us want this. This is not working for either of us. And I'm going to go first and I'm going to say this needs to end. I need out. And I was willing to take all the blame. I was willing to take the responsibility. I was willing to be the villain. But I got to the point where I was like, we can't fix this. There is nothing at this point to fix. It's realizing that you don't have just pieces of a vase you're trying to like glue back together. You have a pile of sand that you're trying to glue into a vase. It doesn't work. And so you just have to make peace and acceptance with that and grieve that process. And so as I'm going through this, over the summer of 2023, and then moving out, moving into my own apartment, really doing things on my own for the first time ever in my entire life. And it's very scary at times. And I started noticing, though, as I was looking at patterns in my own life around food and kind of looking at patterns in other people with their food and their relationship with food, because that's often why they would come to me, was help losing weight, help with emotional eating or binge eating. I also started noticing that they tended to have dysfunctional relationships with at least one, if not multiple people. Usually there was an internal dysfunctional relationship with themselves that was leading to the binge eating, emotional drinking, the struggles with weight loss, and those kind of concepts. But then there were also dysfunctional relationships with other people. And for some of my clients, they grew up like that. They grew up in one of these homes. For some, they were married to somebody where the relationship was not healthy. It was like, we're going to get by. We know how to meet each other's needs. We know how to show up in this way, but it wasn't actually healthy. For some people, it was an ex, or maybe they were separated and it was a soon-to-be ex. It could have been a sibling or a former boss or a current boss, or there were a variety of ways in which my clients were showing up with these relationship dynamics. And also then this same exact dynamic with food. This is when I did a workshop, and it's now a 3-part video series called Hungry for Love. So if you have not watched that, I'll link to that in the description here. But I will link to that because it is a 3-part video series that describes and explains toxic relationships with other people, what happens there, what's going on there, toxic relationships around food and emotional eating, and why we find ourselves in this pattern. And then this Venn diagram of showing how it comes together and it overlaps. And the common core theme that underpins both of these things is a lack of self-worth. It's a story and a belief pattern that I am not good enough. And I am not good enough on my own, but if I stay with this person, if I stay in this dynamic, that will make me good enough. This person and their approval, their validation, their praise, that will make me good enough. It's losing weight, and it's how my body, my shape, my size, right now, it's not good enough. I am not pretty enough, thin enough, whatever enough. But if I lose the weight, if I can change my appearance and how I look, then I will be good enough. And so it's this continual struggle to find our self-worth, but outside of ourselves, to find it by changing ourselves, by changing our bodies, but not in a healthy way. I believe that we can love ourselves now and still want to change. I can love my body now and still want to lose 100 pounds. That is 100% an option. I don't think it has to be we love ourselves, and if we want to lose weight, it means we hate ourselves or we hate our bodies. I think there's a lot more nuance to it. But so often we're trying to change ourselves, we're trying to change our bodies because we don't like who we are inside. We don't like who we're being. We don't like, we don't like the body, but there's so much negative self-talk around it. And even this concept of learning to love your body now and all the way down the scale is really hard for people because they're like, there's nothing lovable about my body. There's nothing lovable about me right now. I have to change. I have to be perfect. I have to show up in a certain way. I have to be doing enough in order to prove that I am worthy of love. It is us constantly looking outside of ourselves, constantly striving, seeking, proving, earning, and we're constantly needing to work to be lovable, work to be valued, work to be worthy. As I started recognizing these patterns and I created this workshop and I spoke on it in person with a small group, it was very powerful, but it also felt new and like a shift. And so it was interesting. I was already attracting people who fit into both camps. They struggled with the relationships and with the food. That was a common thread between all of them. And yet I wrestled with it because typically they are talked about in two completely different camps. You can have the relationship camp and that's one result, and you can promise people one result, or you can promise them a result around food or their body, or weight loss, or emotional eating. But even within that realm, even all of those, I had people telling me, those are all separate results. And you can't talk about all of them. You have to just pick one. That's it. You can only offer one result. That was what they were saying. And with good intention of get known for selling one thing and do it really well. So I get that from a sales perspective. But for me, I was like, first of all, the weight loss, emotional eating, binge eating, while those are different words, people still want all of it. If you want to lose weight, you're likely struggling with emotional eating or binge eating. If you're struggling with binge and emotional eating, you likely want to lose weight. Like those go hand in hand. So for me, I'm like, no, these are all the same. And also it is a cycle that we get ourselves into. And it is the same exact cycle that we find ourselves in with relationships. What we really need to look at is understanding the cycle, the self-talk, the lack of self-worth. Because when we fix that, when we change that, when we transform that from the inside out, that's when you can show up as a whole new person in terms of your relationship with food, your relationship with your parents or a sibling or your spouse or your co-parent. You can show up differently with your body when you look in the mirror, when you step on the scale, right? This is what it's all about. And the people who have come into my world and who continue to keep coming into my world, often there are health goals and there are relationship goals. And it's been really fascinating to see. Now, there may have been a couple of clients where they maybe wanted to lose weight and they didn't have a toxic relationship. That's possible. Typically, my clients who really struggled with weight loss, struggled with the on and off cycle of doom, who really struggled to be able to lose the weight and keep it off and had some emotional eating habits in there, there was other trauma. there was other trauma that was contributing to the binge eating, the emotional eating, the screw it, I'm just going to eat my face off eating, the screw it, I'll start over next week, screw it, I've already blown it, it's only the 9th of the month, but that's okay, I'll start over in March. I'll start over when I can be perfect. It's this perfectionist fantasy. And that often stems from trauma. A lot of the people that are in my world have relationship trauma. So not everybody has an issue with their spouse or their co-parent or their parents. We're not going to paint everybody with one broad color. Everything is nuanced. There are going to be different flavors, right? Like different aspects where this comes up. But it's been really fascinating for me to see and then to notice within my own life, my toxic relationship with food, and then the toxic relationships with other people that I found myself in. And even with people that I've dated along the way, people that I've dated after my divorce, really being able to reflect back on my childhood and understand some of these different patterns that I picked up. I'm not here to blame my parents or throw them under the bus. I think there is some responsibility and ownership that goes to them in different situations. But a lot of it is what I made it mean. And so I'm going to do a whole series on trauma in the future. But this is really important for us to recognize is that trauma is not just what happens to you. It's what you make it mean. That is one of the most impactful aspects. Trauma is also what happens in the absence of an empathetic witness. So when we don't have somebody there validating the pain, validating the hurt, validating what truly happened, that's when we also can go into trauma because now we're deceiving ourselves. We have a lot of cognitive dissonance. I felt this, I experienced this, but nobody else is validating it. Nobody else is recognizing it. And so now maybe I'm wrong. Now I'm really struggling with this. And it's good for our nervous system to have these responses. As I was talking with a former employer of mine, and she does a lot of work in the child behavioral psychology realm, and that's her profession, we talked a bit about trauma and PTSD. And she said, your body, like your nervous system responding to triggers and activating itself is actually really healthy, especially after an incident. I was telling her about when I had gotten attacked by a couple dogs and how afterwards I would hear a dog bark and I would jump, my stomach would tense up, my heart would race. I would be like in this total like quick panic freeze and on alert mode. It was several months afterwards. It got better and better. But in the very beginning, it was intense. I would see a stray dog and I would panic. I would see a dog even on a leash and I would cross over to the other side. There was just so much fear and so much angst around dogs and especially dogs barking. And she said that was actually really good. That's a really healthy, normal response after a traumatic incident like that where I was bit. I still have a scar on my hand where my dog was bit and had to go to the vet and get stitches, where it was just a really chaotic, really stressful incident where it literally seemed to come out of nowhere. We're like, we're fine. A dog's following us. And then all of a sudden, I'm entrenched with two dogs on retractable leashes that I can't seem to get a hold of, three other dogs and their owners. The owner's unable to contain these dogs. Like, it was just a hot mess. But that response in me afterwards was really healthy, was really normal. So trauma happens when we also don't have the ability for our body and our nervous system to respond in that way. And then afterwards, what was also hard was at first, because I was still married at the time, at first my ex was very empathetic and sympathetic and heartfelt. And within a week, maybe two, he was laughing about the incident. I can't believe that you got attacked by those dogs. Well, you didn't just run away. Like, he was laughing at me. Not quite mocking me, but laughing about the situation 1 to 2 weeks after it happened. And I just remember thinking, in my mind, I was like, what a jerk. I can't believe you're laughing about this right now. This was a really traumatic experience. And in the moment, I'm trying to just get my dogs and get us to safety. And I'm doing the best that I can, but it's a cluster. Like it was not easy and he wasn't there. So that to me felt really disempowering. And a lot of times that is why our trauma gets compounded is because we are told not to respond or not to react. We try to get our bodies not to react. We're not allowed. Maybe there's like literally not time to be able to process through things like that. We have other people on the outside mocking, shaming, demeaning what happened. Maybe even calling you a liar, saying that can't be true. That didn't happen. So there's all kinds of things that happen here. And again, this is not to throw anybody under a bus, okay? This is all about helping you to understand why you respond in certain ways, why you continue to engage with people that are not healthy, do not want the best for you, that keep you pulled in these dysfunctional cycles. I want to help you see the dysfunctional relationship going on internally with food, with your body, with your weight, and really start to transform that self-talk. That's what this is all about. This whole kind of epiphany came about as I was reflecting on my own life, my own experiences, noticing these common threads and these common patterns in all my clients and starting to pick it out because they might not even know that they were dealing with childhood trauma or that they were dealing with something from the past until I point it out and I notice it. And I can notice it because one, I have training and certification in it now, but two, I also have that lived experience. And so there are certain key words that I also know likely what is happening based off of how they're describing it and what it means. Now, I'm not here to diagnose anybody. We're not here to blame anybody. My goal with this podcast and this shift is to help you, the listener, take control and take back your power, which I know sounds so cliche. I'm going to figure out a better way to say it. But to really feel in complete ownership and in complete control of yourself, your thoughts, your emotions, your nervous system, your response to food and food triggers, your response to other people and the triggers in other people, and to help you create the best possible life, to help you create the life and body and relationships that you truly crave. That's my goal. We're going to understand this in the context of cycles and patterns. So it's not about blaming somebody else or attacking other people. It's about understanding the pattern and your role in that pattern, how you played into that cycle and into that dynamic. Because if we look at our relationship with food, food just sits there. It's our thoughts about it. It's what we're making things mean. It's how we're interacting with it. But we cannot blame the food. It is not the food's fault that we can't stop stuffing it in our face. Food is not the problem. I am. So I get to be the solution. I get to work on this. I get to fix this. I get to work on me, which means I need to understand the cycles and the patterns and the habits of chronic dieting and that restrict, binge, regret cycle and patterns around emotional eating and binge eating and how there can be a physiological response where your body is literally like it is starving and it's sending out craving, it's sending out more hunger, it's sending out urges, it's sending out all of this increased desire to eat because it's like, what the hell are you doing? You're starving me. Please stop. Please give us some food. And even this concept of diet trauma. So that'll come into play here in the future. And I did a podcast about that. There is an episode, and that was actually a couple years ago now. So it's interesting as I'm going to go back and look back through some of the episodes and talk through some of the things that I've already spoken on, but now in this new light as well, because we really want to understand and have so much love and compassion for ourselves that sometimes it's not just that we're lazy or that we're a slob or we have no willpower. It really can be that we are showing up and it's a trauma response. And we want to understand the cycles and understand the patterns so that we can catch them sooner, so that we can break them. The same thing goes for relationships with different people in your life. There are going to be some things that you can get out of easier than others, right? If you've got a toxic work environment or a toxic boss, you may not be able to leave that immediately, but you can make plans to leave that in the next 6 months. If you have a toxic or a dysfunctional parent, you can still leave that relationship. You can choose to, but a lot of times that feels a lot emotionally harder to leave and to walk away from. And this is really about empowering you to listen to doing what's best for you and what's the next best step. It is never about what is going to happen 5 years down the road. We're going to keep that in mind. I always work with clients on their one-year vision, their five-year vision of what do they want for their life. But I never expect you to be 5 years from now you. I don't expect you to be 2030 you today. We've got to build up to that. We've got to grow into that. So we got to meet ourselves where we're at. And the way we do that is to the awareness of what is the pattern, what's actually happening. And from there, we can really dive into and understand, okay, these are the common threads. These are the common themes. These are the common thoughts. These are the common triggers. Now I just want to catch the pattern sooner. It's not that the pattern just goes away. It's not that we catch it and we don't fall into it. So anybody who comes to me and is emotionally eating, I tell them, you are going to continue emotionally eating. You are going to continue binge eating. And that's okay. I'm going to help you break this cycle, but we can't do it in an instant. If we could, my coaching would be like a week long. It'd be 2 weeks long. And it doesn't work like that. We've got to build up to it over the next 6 months. But that's what's possible. So we want to work on catching it sooner, because the earlier we catch it, the sooner we catch it, the more we see it, the better we are at shifting it and shifting that energy to where it's no longer that kind of trigger, to where we can notice, oh, I'm walking into the kitchen, I'm not hungry, and I turn around and I walk out, to where we don't even engage in that habit anymore. You can break your binge eating. You can break your emotional eating. You can break toxic relationships with other people. And I know from a dating experience too, of like constantly calling in and attracting and dating is what feels like the same person. I talk to a lot of people about this, where it's like, they're dating, but they seem to keep attracting the same types of people, just a different face, maybe a slightly different flavor of dysfunction, slightly different flavor of unhealthy. And we want to get better and better at catching the pattern, understanding what is that pattern, what were the needs that they were meeting for you, so that you can meet them for yourself and you can break this habit, and you're going to catch it and you're going to break it sooner and sooner. And I gave this example a few weeks ago about love bombing and how there were times when I was love bombed and I didn't know, and it was just like, this is love and it feels amazing. And then there were times when I knew what love bombing was, I was love bombed, but I didn't catch it until after the breakup. And then there were times when I was love bombed, knew what it was, and in the moment I was like, oh, I think this is love bombing, but it still feels so amazing. This is feeding my soul. It feels so good. I don't want to walk away. And then catastrophic breakup. And then there was love bombing. I'm catching it. I'm noticing it. Still feels maybe a little bit harder to walk away, but I walk away after a couple weeks. Not a couple months, a couple weeks. And then it's, I know what love bombing is. I'm experiencing it. I notice it, and I can walk away in a couple days. And then I'm going to get to the point where I'm no longer attracting and calling in the love bombing, because I've broken that cycle of what that means. I no longer look for a man to meet that emotional need and emotional desire within me. And insert whatever pronoun or whatever person meets that need for you. I'm no longer looking for this person to make me good enough. I'm no longer looking for this person to make me feel special, to make me feel loved, to make me feel chosen, to make me feel wanted, to make me feel desired, to make me feel like I'm enough. And typically, what I see most often is that this is coming from our childhood. It's really deep-seated childhood wounds. And for me, a lot of my wounds stem from abandonment and rejection. That's my core work. And that becomes the goal now. And when we can understand what those cycles are and we can work on breaking them, we can work on meeting those needs for ourselves, that's when we find the true healing and the true peace. That's when I can go out on a date because I just want to and it sounds fun, not because I'm craving the attention or I'm craving somebody's love or I'm craving somebody to praise me or validate me in some way. And the same thing goes with food, because we also have to look at our emotional attachment to food or alcohol. I'm going to do some more episodes around alcohol as well, and like emotional drinking, taking a break from drinking, things like that. It's really important that we start to recognize, what emotional needs is this food meeting for me right now? What emotional needs is this alcohol meeting for me right now? Just like I was looking at, what emotional needs is this dating app meeting for me now? These are so interconnected. They're the same cycles playing out in different parts of our life. And as we start to break one, we're naturally going to start to break the other. And it becomes this ripple effect through every part of our life. But we really have to get back to the core piece of how you see yourself, how you talk to yourself, how you believe in yourself, your self-worth, your self-concept, your self-identity. And there is so much transformative power that awaits you on the other side. This is just a little foray, a little dip my toe into the waters of these concepts and really bringing them together and bringing them under one roof is my goal. Because again, so many people that I'm already working with are struggling with the relationships, with people, with food, with their bodies, with weight loss and weight loss journeys, and ultimately with themselves. And that's what I'm here to help you understand and overcome. So that's what we are going to do here for the foreseeable future. This may evolve and shift and change over time. I don't know what exactly that might look like, but for the foreseeable future, this is where we're going. So some episodes, we're going to be talking about both food, weight loss, emotional eating, binge eating, relationships all together. Some episodes might focus on one thing over another, but this is all to help you understand this concept and to bring it all together so that you can start to break the cycles in your life. So if you want fierce clarity about why your binge eating and your relationship habits are actually one and the same, and how to break these cycles so that you can really reclaim your self-confidence and self-belief, then this is the work for you. And I'd invite you to visit bodyyoucrave.com/BTC and book your own Break the Cycle call, where we're going to walk through these cycles and I'm going to explain them and we're going to talk through what this looks like in your life. And I'm going to help you understand how these cycles play out, why they've been playing out, and why this has kept you from creating the body that you crave, why this has kept you from losing the weight that you desire and being able to keep it off, why this has kept you from being able to create the relationship dynamic that you truly want. This is all possible, but we need to understand these concepts on a deeper layer. It has nothing to do with the food. It has nothing to do with the other person in the sense of you keep interacting with this same dynamic. We got to change how you're showing up. We got to change you internally. And that's beautiful, right? That is the winning formula, because when you are the only thing that needs to change, you don't have to control anyone or anything else around you. Because it's just a false sense of control anyways. We really can't, no matter what. So let's focus on what we can control. My thoughts, my emotions, my actions. And you focus on your thoughts, your emotions, your actions. And really start to take empowered action towards the desire of what it is that you want. If you want more of this, I would love to help. I'm working with clients right now, privately, one-on-one, or in a small group setting. So if you would like to learn more about that, the best place is to schedule your Break the Cycle call. And I'm happy to guide you as to what the best container is to help you work through this. This is just the beginning. I can't flip and wait. This is going to be so good. It continues to blow my mind, like every day. It's amazing. And the way that God has me stepping out in this way and simultaneously calling in, and I'm attracting clients who fit this exact mold, who are struggling with these exact things. I'm getting on podcasts, I'm getting interviews and articles where I can talk about these two things together. Like, it is mind-blowing. Join me on this journey. I hope y'all have a fabulous week. I can't wait to keep going. Questions, comments, fears, regrets, come find me on Instagram, Jillian Amadea, and send me a message. All right, y'all, here's to creating the life, body, and relationship you crave.
If this episode resonated with you, it's time to break free from destructive cycles around food, alcohol, and toxic relationships. Your next step? Book your free Break the Cycle call, where you'll finally see why your binge eating and relationship patterns are so deeply connected and how to break free from both for good. You'll walk away with fierce clarity and a game plan to step into a life full of fun, adventure, and self-love. Grab your spot now at www.bodyyoucrave.com/BTC. It's time to break the cycle. I'll show you how.